And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
One of the most challenging places on earth is your local neighborhood pet store. It's almost impossible to resist falling in love with some amazing animal and walking out the pet store door, and then suddenly you realize, what did I just do? Well, that's exactly what you should be thinking, because pet care is a huge responsibility. And when it comes to birds, today we talk with one of the owners of Uptown Birds, a new pet store with a mission to make sure that when one of their pets leaves their store, it's going to get the care that it deserves. That's coming up and more when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Did you see it? My premiere of the Wild Side News update on YouTube? As promised, it's posted, and I'm talking about bees. It's time to speak out, and that's what I'll be doing regularly on the Wild Side News update. And it's a chance to see who in the world it is who talks to you each week here on the Wild Side News. I'm thrilled. It's easy to find the feature. Just go to www.youtube.com and type in Wildside News in the search box. You can do it as the three words or as one word or even just Wildsmith. That's Wildesmith. So now to our show. But do take a look on YouTube at the Wildside News update. It's the first of many video commentaries. I'm thrilled. I love animals, and I particularly love pets. I've had a lot of them. Dogs, cats, turtles, fish, birds, monkeys, lizards, frogs. I even had a pet walking stick and had a brief friendship with a common housefly. Talk to most any pet owner and they have lots of stories. Some of my most memorable moments have occurred with pets. My dogs that ran off after a deer 20 miles into the foothills of the Cascades, running and barking until I couldn't hear them anymore. After an hour, I had to just give up. I drove back home and spent a horrible day worried about my two dogs, Orion and Bean Dog. And just as nightfall began to descend, they returned, thirsty and a bit wild-eyed, pretty darn happy. I'll never know how they found their way through the tangle of old logging roads 20 miles. They'd driven up in a car and managed to find their way back. Today we're talking with one of the owners of a new pet store in Manhattan called Uptown Birds, which takes the time to properly prepare their customers for owning any of their animals, and in particular, their birds. They've come to know that there's a lot to owning birds, and today Daniel Kapoulos goes in-depth as we talk about things every bird owner has to know. So if you've ever thought about owning a bird, or have one, or even know of someone who does have a bird, be sure to take a listen. And if you don't have a bird, you'll still enjoy knowing about these amazing and wonderful beings that come to us, befriend us, and in some cases, outlive us. That's coming up in segment two. I follow the news of nature all the time, and nature is definitely in the news. Today, we're going to cover some of the more important stories during this week's Weekly Earth Summit, which begins right now. So, now it's time for the Weekly Earth Summit. Welcome to the Weekly Earth Summit, the most important 15 minutes on Earth. I'm your host, Sydney Wildsmith, and each week we feature guests, commentary, and special reports on topics that the world needs to hear. Nature is in the news, and that's a good thing, because the more we know about our world, the better. And the good news is we are making dramatic advances on all fronts in science. Today I'm going to discuss stories making the news, many of which come from the recent meeting of the American Association for the Advancement of Science held in Boston. What is emerging is a truly more holistic picture of life on Earth. Important issues such as global warming, genetic engineering, and the demise of the oceans are now bringing greater human and instrumental technologies together to begin to assemble a picture of our world as it was, as it is, and as it is likely to become. The importance of this new integration is critical as we witness rapid and dramatic changes to the very complex living systems that have taken billions of years to emerge. Yes, human impacts are more than significant. They are monumental. But we are at least pulling the information together. We begin today's weekly Earth Summit with the news that images from space are providing dramatic visual evidence of the effects of bottom trawling, perhaps one of the most devastating activities of life on Earth. Literally tens of thousands of ships are busy every day, dragging huge devices along the ocean bottoms, tearing up everything, collecting the refuse, and seeing if anything is worth eating or selling. The practice is particularly prevalent in mid to deep waters of the open oceans, where fishing restrictions do not apply. The devastation is huge, estimated at being the equivalent of twice the area of the contiguous 48 states each and every year. But until recently, the capacity to see the damage was very limited. However, in the shallower waters off the coast of Louisiana, satellite imagery has dramatically captured the drag trails along the ocean's bottom. But even more significantly, the massive plumes of sediment that are stirred up and remain suspended for long periods of time in the ocean waters. These images help envision what may be happening to vast stretches of the ocean in the deeper waters. Nothing speaks as clearly as a detailed photograph, and the recent discoveries of these massive swarming streams of suspended mud and sediment make clear, literally, the secondary and tertiary effects that bottom trawling is kicking up around the world. This is welcome evidence that there is much more to the destructive nature of bottom trawling than the mere annihilation of whole underwater ecosystems. It's time we pay attention. The oceans are making a lot of news these days, as we are increasingly able to document and analyze changes to myriads of factors within the oceans. Much of this feels new, as until many of the recent advances in underwater monitoring and study emerged, much of the ocean was truly a mystery. We have come to know that sharks are threatened around the world, many to the point of near extinction, primarily because they are being caught by the millions each year without regard to the impact. A prime example of the senseless destruction of masses of the ocean's living forms is the practice of finning, in which sharks are caught directly or as bycatch and their fins cut off to make soup for Japanese connoisseurs. The fact that this is happening right now as we speak is reprehensible. But the quest to understand shark habits is leading to some new and interesting information about sharks. We live with an ancient myth of the shark as a lonely and solitary predator, randomly roaming the oceans in search of anything edible, which is then quickly ripped and swallowed by the merciless shark. But new research is painting a much different picture of sharks as significantly more social an animal than we had ever thought. Through advanced and long-standing telemetry studies, researchers are discovering that some species of shark actually tend to travel along shark superhighways, which lead to gathering spots where sharks mingle and carry on in a massive social gathering at regularly scheduled times of the year in very specific locations and then disperse back to their homeland waters until the next big get-together. This stands in sharp contrast to our fearful fairy tales of sharks and, more importantly, serves as a basis for developing effective strategies for turning back the decline of worldwide shark populations. It is information like this that helps us truly picture our planet and its status, and it isn't just the big and impressive creatures that make the point so clearly. There is absolutely definitive proof that ocean temperatures are rising, and that CO2 levels in the oceans are increasing as well. This combination isn't what we really need to hear, because with the rise in levels of CO2, ocean waters become more acidic. Warming and increasingly acidic waters are going to make it difficult for many sea creatures with shells to survive. Why? Because acid eats through calcium. If you need a real-life simple example, just take a little vinegar outside and put it on your cement driveway or sidewalk. That's an easy lesson. It starts eating it up immediately. It's a great way, as a matter of fact, to clean off concrete. Now imagine you're a soft-bodied sea urchin, happy and content inside your spiny little calcium shell. Then the waters in which you live happily start to turn more acidic. Your home begins to melt around you. And that's just what is happening to what one scientist has termed the potato chip of the sea, the small lentil bean-sized little marine snails called pteropods, which supply a vast portion of one level of the food chain upon which so much of the ocean relies. These little snails are very susceptible to even minor changes in ocean acidity. And changing ocean acidity is exactly what they are faced with. The ocean's acidity could reach critical mass for pteropods by 2050, by which time, if nothing changed, the oceans would be suffering a massive reshuffling of the life web of the sea. These are really significant challenges the oceans face. Optimists are betting on the capacity for pteropods to change their genetics enough to adapt to these changes and continue to make their shells to survive the increases in the acidity of the ocean waters. Meanwhile, each day brings us closer to the future. That certainly is the case for caribou in Canada and Alaska. Whereas for thousands of years, caribou have made their annual runs, literally, between summer and winter grounds, pressures to exhume the bounteous wealth underneath their ancient highways is raising some real issues about their future. With oil reserves sloshing around underneath the Teshikpuk Lake regions where they have come to calve for eons of time, to the vast low sulfur coal underlying the homelands of the western Alaska herd, and diamonds galore in the hidden recesses of the Northwest Territories of Alaska and Canada, this one species finds itself generally in the way of oil, gas, and mineral leases. Interestingly, the issue of sustainability is morphing into a wider vision of a moderated balance as the interests of the nature industry gain standing in the debate with the natural resources managers who have for years put development at the top of their mission statement, and in the process, a more reasoned strategy is beginning to emerge. We can do this. It's not impossible. In a moment when people are flocking to voices for change based on reason, dialogue, and a better world, science is once again doing what it was designed to do best, enlighten our future with truth. That's what we do here each week, month after month, year after year. And as the voice of the earth spreads out, so too the hope for this earth. What is most hopeful is that this challenge is now becoming our challenge, and an interesting and fascinating challenge it is. Coming to know the realities of our living systems, even in their time of need, could be the most significant change in our vision in a long, long time. It may indeed be the basis for a whole new technology of thought and spirit. This is Sidney Wildsmith, inviting you to come along each week as we explore the wonders of today and tomorrow here on the Weekly Earth Summit. In just a moment, the truth about bringing birds into your home when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.